DeAndre Barton trying to drive, kicks it out to Mazur. He'll take a three right wing. Good!
Oh, baby.
Backing his way and out to Barton. Right
there
back
you go.
To Lightfoot.
Shape again.
Lightfoot spinning. Lightfoot lays it up. Count it and
shape again. There you go.
SEC has won their first Region 11 title since 2011.
All right, good evening and welcome to the first episode of the Coach Watkins Show, the SEC Blackhawks men's basketball podcast, live here from Cole House 337, presented by Matthew Rinker's Shelter Insurance. Michael Bruskowski here with you, the radio voice of SEC Blackhawks basketball, and of course the reason we're all here, Coach Lorenzo Watkins, the reigning Region 11 Coach of the Year. Coach, finally have your radio show.
Yeah, thanks. I just want to thank Chase for having us here tonight and for all our fans that showed up tonight for the first annual Coaches Show. And, you know, just looking forward to a great season. Hopefully we get a good repeat like we did last year.
Of course, this is the first show. We'll be doing this about every Tuesday throughout the season this year, unless the scheduling permits otherwise. But tonight, our very first episode, and we will be recapping last year. We'll be going over what to expect this season, and we'll also hear from Du Moses, one of three returners on the roster here in 2019. But first, Coach, you mentioned last season, 27 wins. You went 27-5, Region 11 champs last year, first time since 2011 the Blackhawks won this region. Now that you kind of had a summer to sit back and reflect a little bit, what did that season mean to you?
It was great. I mean, you know, I thought our guys really bought into what SEC basketball is all about. Hard work, determination, and teamwork. And I thought came January and February, we were playing our best basketball. And all our guys know we break our season down into three seasons is – from August to November, you know, it's the preseason, and we get into after Christmas, you know, the second part of our season in league play. And I thought we were playing our best basketball as a team. We had some struggles early on and had to find ourselves and get some leadership from some of our sophomores. But at the end of the day, you got to be playing your best basketball in January and February, and I thought we were.
Now, this season, your third season in charge of SEC Blackhawks basketball. How proud of you are you of the way that your staff has kind of turned things around from where you took over midseason a couple of years ago?
It's been great. I mean, the hardest thing is when you take over a program that when you follow so many great coaches that's been here. And I'm fortunate enough to have done it twice. I mean, at Indian Hills, following Coach Carroll and the great coaches we had at Indian Hills, and then now coming to SEC with following Coach O'Brien and now Coach Carroll and Charlie Spoonhauer. I mean, it goes back, you know. So it's one of those deals you just dream about. I mean, and a lot of toughness comes with it of having to follow those guys and kind of I still look up to them. You know, I talk to those guys every day and to learn things from Coach O'Brien and Coach Carroll still. And so it's been, you know, it's been good. I mean, it's been a full circle for me, you know, playing in this league and coaching in this league against our rivals. And so it's been great. We love Burlington, me and my wife and our kids, and it's just been great.
Coming into this season, you had a lot of change in your roster, bringing back three players from last year, Du Moses, Carlos Lemos, who redshirted, and Dadrian Ombrecker. Kind of had to retool the roster a bit, but that's nothing new in junior college. It always seems like you have a majority of new guys coming back.
No, it's nothing new. You just got to it's tougher this year because I think we, you know, 27-5 last year, winning the league, and the run that those guys put on, the experience, though. I mean, you're talking Jaquan Lightfoot, who played in the Texas League, and, you know, he was a third-year guy, and Kelvon Fuller played in the Texas League, another transfer guy, A.J. Cox. You know, all those guys had been around. You know, we had Marquise, who played at Division One, and so the difference is we lose that experience. And so – It's going to be a little rougher road early on. A lot of it was just controlling those guys and letting them understand that you got to win as a team. You got to play as a team. You got to do everything as a team. And this year is just teaching those guys and getting them to understand how to win. And with the different aspects of a lot of international kids and, you know, a lot of freshmen. I mean, Dew is really the only one that played quite a few minutes for us last year. Carlos was hurt, and he's been a big part of our preseason scrimmages and games coming up that's been we played right now. But, you know, it's almost really, really starting over from 1 through 16. So, you know, we got our work cut out for us, and I think our guys, we have shown tremendous improvement from day one. I mean, you know, it's going to be hard work from day to day, but I love these guys. I mean, we got a great nucleus of guys this year.
You just finished up your Jamboree schedule. You played three games down at John Wood and Quincy this past weekend against three NAIA programs. What was your overview on the Jamboree schedule this year? I know it's kind of hard to look at Jamborees and kind of figure out what you have, but you saw some good things this past weekend.
Yeah, we did. I mean, I think for the people who don't understand what the Jamborees are all about, it's mostly for us as coaches to evaluate our guys. I mean, you really play a running clock, 40-minute running clock, which really is the equivalent of playing a half of basketball. And the majority of them don't have shot clocks. And with all the new NJCA rules, the college rules of 30-second shot clock going to 20 seconds, and so you don't get to practice those. But this weekend we did because we were at John Wood and we played with the shot clock. So a lot of them is a lot of it is just teaching the guys game experience. I mean, you can practice it, but it's so hard to simulate a game in practice that it's unbelievable. But we've progressed. I mean, from day one in Ames that first weekend in October to last weekend in Quincy and playing three games, it's a big difference. And, you know, our guys they're starting to figure out how to play. They're starting to figure out how to play together. And a lot of it is, you know, me being a demanding coach and they understanding that I don't care how many points you can score. If you can't defend and rebound and take care of the ball, you can't play. So we've went through that with two or three guys right now, and they got to understand that I'm not going to change. I mean, that's the only way I know. Only way I've been taught to play the game and to coach the game is the right way. So, you know, you win with discipline. You know, talent only takes you where so far. But you got to be a very disciplined team to win at our level.
Do you find it helpful when you have a Jamboree like you did this weekend where you're playing for your school's NAIA teams, playing a little bit of older competition? We saw you scrimmage William Penn, do that every year. Do you find that helpful when you guys are playing older competition in those preseason scrimmages?
There's no question, because the physicality of the game is just a big difference from being a freshman to a junior or senior. So when we got freshmen and you look at their body of a junior and senior, you can tell the difference. And all the banging and screening action going on, playing those NAIA schools is just a huge difference. And so, but you can tell kids over and over how physical the game is at our level, but they still won't believe you until you play those NAIA schools and realize those kids are juniors and seniors, and, you know, it's a big difference in their body.
And now coming up, you look at the schedule. The season starts right away on Friday. You get two games in those 2 days, Broadway Classic. You've got Rock Valley, the number two team in Division III junior college. Then you turn around and play the number one team in Division II, JUCO and Kirkwood. It's a tougher schedule this year, and I know a lot of emphasis was put on making it a tougher schedule because of what happened at the end of last season. You start off with two of the top teams in the lower division, then you get about six straight games against historically good Division I JUCOs. What went into the making of this year's schedule?
Well, I mean, we're going to get tested early. Like you said, I mean, it starts this Friday and Saturday with playing Kirkwood, who's going to be number one in Division II, and Rock Valley, who's always been, you know, in the top five, and they beat Indian Hills 2 years ago at their place. So it's a schedule, you know, made to you know, not only for me to really get the attention of our guys. I mean, we're so young, I get that, but I got to get their attention early. And then we go on the road and play the Iowa-Missouri Challenge and playing West Plains and Three Rivers. So it doesn't get any easier. Come back, we got State Fair at home. Go to Indian Hills, and you got Coffeyville and Northeast Oklahoma. So, my first, you know, seven or eight games is really, really going to be a tester and an eye-opener for some of our guys.
We're here live at Cole House 337 with the Coach Watkins Show presented by Matthew Rinker Shelter Insurance. And you mentioned your guys, this roster this year. I wanted to touch a little bit on your returners. Of course, you've got Du Moses, who's here in the audience tonight. He'll be joining us in just a little bit. Carlos Lemos, who missed all of last season with an injury. He's back for his redshirt freshman season. And Dadrian Holmbrecker coming back as well, the local kid here out of Burlington. Let's first talk a little bit about Du Moses. You mentioned he played some big minutes for you last year, most notably down the stretch, had some big buckets in that win against Indian Hills here at Lauren Walker Arena back in February. Du seems to be a guy who can do a lot on the floor, and I have to think that's attributed to his strength.
There's no question. I mean, very versatile player, and, you know, he was our energy guy last year. I mean, let's just think about the times where, you know, we're pressing and he's on the front of that press and getting, you know, tips and fingers on the ball, getting other teams sped up and getting some key steals and big buckets. And the thing is, he's so versatile, he can play the one through four, he can guard the one through four, and those guys are just players. I mean, they don't have no position. You just put them on the floor and they're going to get things done for you. And the biggest thing is, you know, his toughness. I mean, he wants to win, and with him returning and getting a little taste of what transpired last year and hoping it feeds over to some of our new guys is huge. And Du knows how much work you have to put in to have some success at this level, and it's tough. I mean, and me demanding of what these guys have to do every day from 6 in the morning to 6 or 7 o'clock at night, which people don't understand that. They just see them on the court running around during games, but it's a job, you know. They got to go to class. They got to go to study hall. They got to go to weights in the morning, and then they got to deal with me. And so I tell them it's like a job. If you don't come to work every day, you're going to get fired. And a lot of our guys starting to understand that. It's work, you know. It's just like an everyday job. You have to come prepare to get things done at work every day, and Du has done that. And some of it is starting to spill over to our other guys about, hey, when you come through those doors into Lauren Walker Arena, you better come ready to work or coach is going to boot you out.
And Carlos Lemos missing all of last season, the redshirt freshman out of Venezuela, a great shooter, has some ups. We saw it in the scrimmage at William Penn when he missed a layup and ran all the way down to the other end of the court and blocked a dunk attempt. But what does a healthy Carlos Lemos bring to this team?
You know, it's, you know, what me and Coach Wolf saw when we saw him playing last a couple years ago out in New York. I mean, he brings that toughness of being able to play multiple positions. He's a scorer, you know. He can handle the ball. He can put it on the floor. He can create for teammates, and it's just weird. You know, he hadn't played in 2 years. I mean, it goes back to now he's just trying to get into basketball rhythm, so to speak, get into shape because he didn't play last year. And I think people don't understand those 30 games under your belt like Du has. He's ahead of the game. And so we're still trying to push Carlos to understand the pace of the game, of how you there's two sides of the floor, how you have to defend and still be able to run the team on the other end. And he's figuring that out. And I think the Jamborees help him just as much as it helps our freshman kids coming back.
And some newcomers on this roster, you bring in some junior college transfers, and I want to touch on a few of them a little bit. You get some guards that transfer in, Magani Albi from Three Rivers, a Montreal, Quebec native, and also Boubacar Kamasoko from Hutch. How big is it to get those two guys who have played in two of the highest levels in JUCO, just like Iowa, Missouri, Kansas, Illinois, all that area, probably the top premier conferences in JUCO? How key is it to have those guys with experience in conferences like that?
Well, like you said, the experience, been through it. I mean, you're talking Missouri. Magani has played at Three Rivers, and he's been through the gauntlet. I mean, that's tough as it gets, just like Iowa. And Boubacar from Hutch, again, the Jayhawk Conference, you know, one of the top in the country, just like Iowa and Missouri. So those guys with those 30 games under their belt brings that experience, some of the experience that we lost from last year. So especially at the guard spot, you know, we talk about, you know, you got to be big, got to be strong. But at the end of the day, you got to have some of the top guards in the country to have opportunity to win games at this level, because 90% of the game is played out on the perimeter, and we got to be able to defend and rebound and be able to push the ball in transition and not turn it over. And these two guys can do that. I think Magani is probably going to be one of the best shooters in the country. I mean, once he understands how to get his shots and feed off of Bubakar and Carlos and be able to make open shots, because he's going to get a lot of them. And once he figures out, we're going to play inside out. I mean, that ball's got to go inside. It's got to come out. He's probably one of the best shooters we've seen here in a while.
And you mentioned the shooters in this team, Magani. You just mentioned Carlos. It's a little bit of a different look from last year. Last year was a team that kind of had to get inside. Of course, that wasn't the case in the Region 11 championship game when set the season high for threes. But last year was more of an inside-the-perimeter team, pound the ball inside and score at the rim. A little bit different this year in terms of the shooters you have at to your disposal?
Well, yeah, I think we got quite a few guys that can step out and shoot threes. And last year we were, you know, guys that can put it on the floor, really athletic, get to the basket, finish above the rim. And I thought in our region game last year, like you said, we shot the best we did all year. But they were within what we were trying to do offensively. You know, we had guys penetrating one, twice, three times, and all of a sudden you're sitting out there shooting wide open shots. So a lot of those bad shots are a lot of shots missed are bad shots. It's not about you can't shoot it, but we got guys that can, you know, put the ball in the basket from behind the arc this year. And, you know, it's easy when you have Kelvon and Jaquan from last year when you can throw that thing in there and you can't guard them one-on-one. They're getting double-teamed, and they kick it back out, and you got guys who can sit out there and make open shots. So they were kind of our relief of pressure, if that makes sense. You know, when you throw the ball to Kelvon and Jaquan, they were going to get a basket or get fouled. So we're not as tough as inside right now compared to those two guys last year, if I had to say some of the weakness right now. But we'll get there, you know. They struggled early in the year figuring out what I wanted last year. But by the end of the year, January and February, they understood where their bread and butter was made, right around the basket.
And some newcomers on this team, a heavy international flavor on this ball club this year, especially in terms of freshmen coming in. How long does it take sometimes for those international guys to kind of get acclimated to the game here?
Quite a bit. I mean, it's something I'm learning, to be honest, that it's taken them a little longer than I thought. I mean, the game is, and you see it on TV, and you know it's different, but until you sit down with each and every one of them and hear what they're saying about, you know, how they played, I mean, it's almost a restructuring of how they've been taught how to play the game. And, you know, right now it's just baby steps. And I told them, guys, it's going to be frustrating at times, but right now it's baby steps. The things you can control as a player is playing hard, defending and rebounding. You're going to make mistakes. But if you're playing hard, you will never hear a peep out of me. And so I think they're starting to understand, just play hard. Run the floor, do the things we have to do collectively as a team to make us better. If you do that as an individual, and everybody does that as an individual, the team becomes better easy. So we're figuring it out. I think our international guys, it's taking them a little longer than normal. And, you know, some of them have been frustrated, but they're hanging in there because they're tough kids. And they're happy to be here, and they love it. So we're getting through it. I mean, and I'm just hoping they understand that it's a long process. I mean, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. So we're just going to gradually keep working and working and get to our goal. I mean, our goal is to have a chance to win the league and to have a chance to get to the national tournament. So it's a long process. Just like last year, I kept telling our guys, we're going to have some ups and downs, but at the end of the day, we're going to be the toughest team on the floor. Might not be the most talented, but at the end of the day, we're going to be the toughest, and we're going to be the most disciplined as far as taking care of the ball, playing defense, rebounding, and playing as a team. And I thought our guys were playing their best basketball last year, January and February.
And finally, we talked about the newcomers on the floor. I have a newcomer on the bench as well, and Coach James Demopoulos joining the ball club this year. Of course, comes from a basketball family. Is his father a longtime NBA assistant and head college coach? What does James bring to this staff this year as a third assistant coach?
It's been great. I mean, just fit right in with Coach Wolf and Coach JT as far as, you know, taking care of all the things behind the door that, you know, behind closed doors that people don't understand. Just a lot of the not only on the court stuff, but in the classroom, making sure our guys go to study hall. All the things that a head coach needs to not worry about. And that's why you got to have great assistants, because they do so much behind closed doors. And James has been a great addition to what Coach Wolf and Coach JT does. It's just been unbelievable. And because truthfully now, that's the only thing I got to focus on is practice and the games, you know. So he's been great. And it couldn't have worked out any better of how he just blended in and fit in with our staff, because he already understands what I'm about, what we're trying to do on both ends of the floor, how tough our kids have to be, what type of kids we're going to recruit. I mean, he's already out. You know, got a couple kids he's recruiting, want to bring in on a visit. He gets it. And at this level, that's what you need. I mean, a lot of times you get guys that want to get into the business and you got to hold their hand. He gets it. He's been around it. He understands it. And Wolf and JT have been great with him and letting him know and understand how I am. And, hey, you just take care of what you're supposed to do. I'm never going to bother you as long as you know from A to Z what you have to do in the office and with the guys. And he's been great with them. I mean, works them out every day. I mean, those are the things you don't see in the morning when our guys come in and work out. They lift weights in the morning and they're in the gym mid-morning before practice working out with him. So it's been good. I mean, it's been a great addition to help us keep moving forward.
Well, Coach, thanks so much for your time. Your first segment of your first show complete. There you go.
It was great. It was great. Thank you.
We'll now be joined by sophomore forward Dew Moses. Dew will come on up here, and he'll take Coach's seat, and we'll talk to the sophomore forward from Calgary, Alberta. Coach says he's a little nervous, so we'll try to break Dew in gently here. Reminder, the SEC Blackhawks open up their 2019-20 season on Friday when they take on Rock Valley, the number 2-ranked Division III JUCO team in the country, at Loren Walker Arena at 7 o'clock, following Illinois Central and Kirkwood in Game 1 of the Broadway Classic. As we now have Dew Moses here on the Coach Watkins Show, presented by Matthew Rinker Shelter Insurance. Dew, thanks for joining me.
Hi.
Need some water. Dew, your second season as an SEC Blackhawk, how much do you think that first year and the run you guys went on will help you here in year two as a leader?
My experience from last year is going to play a big role, because I came off the bench especially. That helped me try to prove a point to the team. And like Coach said, my role was energy, right? And utilizing that this season is only going to show the guys by example, because energy is something you can't coach. It's from within, which will help the team play better than me being vocal on and off the court, which will help the team as well.
And this season, you got a whole new group of teammates this year. You just have Carlos and Dadrian back as teammates from last year. How has it been in terms of acclimating with your new team? It's been almost 3 months now. Everyone's starting to gel a little bit?
Yes, everyone's starting to gel. The first thing I noticed on campus was the team is very unselfish, which made it a lot easier to gel. I can see parts where a team is lacking, but that's no worry because of how a team is. So I don't think there'll be a big issue about gelling, because everyone wants to work and get better in the overall aspect of the game.
Now, you're a native of Calgary, Alberta, Canada. One of two Canadians on the team this year. Boogie Magani is from Montreal on the other side of the country. Tell us a little about life growing up in Calgary. I know you always tease me when I say, oh, I want to go see Calgary and Banff area. What's life like in Calgary?
Life back home, it's simple. It's fun. No big difference in Burlington. Nothing to do. Just played sports growing up. Played basketball, volleyball, a little bit of hockey as well. Then just grew up with my family. Nothing crazy like that. Played sports.
And basketball in Canada, a big, of course, and you have a friend in this conference in J.D. Mula, who's a center at Indian Hills, a sophomore just like you. He's from Ottawa, but I have to imagine you guys play each other nonstop on the AAU circuit up there.
No, we were teammates in AAU. That's how we became friends. Initially, we played each other in prep school when I went to prep school in Toronto, and he played for a prep school called CTA in Ottawa. We played against each other. Then 2 months later, I played for BTB basketball, bigger than basketball academy, which was the club I played for. Then 2 months, I saw him come join us, and we just became best friends ever since then, and we've been best friends to this day.
Well, bragging rights from last season with the two wins over Indian Hills last year.
Yep.
How excited are you getting ready for the season opener on Friday? It has to be nice to get the preseason out of the way. Jamborees, of course, you've been dealing with the preseason workouts with Coach Watkins and the rest of the team. You ready to get it going for real now?
Yeah, I'm very excited because the first 3 months, Zoe was not playing. He tried to make us run at least 50 lines a day plus, so at least got that aspect out the way, the conditioning part. Now it's go time, and I'm excited to see the guys play.
Was it better for you the second time through, knowing what to expect in a grueling preseason?
Yes, it is. Just because I knew what was coming for it, and I've been through it, I experienced it. So like it helped me help other guys. Like, this is gonna happen. Look out for these, because no one told me that coming my first year. So it's like I can tell these guys what to look out for, what to watch for their first year, which helped a lot.
Well, Dew, thanks so much for your time. Thanks for coming out, and best of luck this year. You made it through.
Thank you very much.
That is SEC sophomore forward Dew Moses. Last year played a big part in the team's Region 11 championship. Had some big baskets in the team's win over Indian Hills in February. Coming up, the Blackhawks will open the season this Friday against Rock Valley. They'll also play on Saturday against Kirkwood at 5 o'clock. Friday's game, 7 o'clock at Lauren Walker Arena, part of the Broadway Classic. The Blackhawks will then hit the road down to Missouri to take on both Missouri West Plains and Three Rivers as the 2019-20 season is fast approaching. This is the Coach Watkins Show, presented by Matthew Rinker Shelter Insurance. We'll do this every Tuesday night at 7:30 here from Cole House 337. I want to give a big thanks to Chase Gibbs for having us out tonight. And, of course, this podcast will be posted online on SEC's athletic website, secblackhawks.com, starting tomorrow morning. There will be some stuff added in there, some intros and outros and stuff like that. So we hope we can continue to grow this podcast. We'll have different special guests as the weeks go on, former coaches as well as current players, maybe some assistants. I know Coach Gritzmacher was trying to get on the show yesterday, so we'll have to get him on as well. So thanks, everyone, for coming out. We'll talk to you again next Tuesday. This is the Coach Watkins Show, presented by Matthew Rinker Insurance.